Welcome back, everybody. It's Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook. I have no idea what day it is, though, because that's what John Stalica's job is, and he's not here.
Right, yeah. Stalica can't be with us tonight. I'm still here in the puppet bunker.
Yeah, that's David Griggs. I'm Chad Sherwood. I think we're on day number eight. Actually, that's
day eight, and the world is going crazy, Chad.
Well, we had a lot of news. I was actually at the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference tournament today. The six-tuple header, or well, I only made it through four of the games, but yeah, three women's games followed by three men's games. But sitting there watching some of this news break and talking to people there was pretty crazy. But it all started with the Ivy League coming out with an announcement today that they have decided to cancel their conference tournament, which is going to be played on Harvard on their campus because of the coronavirus.
In a nutshell, that's it. So Yale, the first place team outright, gets the automatic bid.
Yep. And there was some quotes from Penn University specifically, called the whole thing hypocritical.
Well, I mean, it is. Now, I mean, I don't want to, like, overlook what could be a public health scare or a public health crisis. I mean, nobody wants that. But one of the things that's frustrating, not just with the Ivy League, but seemingly across the board, is just the inconsistency. The Ivy League cancels its tournament, but a lot of those schools that play hockey are still playing hockey. Yep. And, you know, I learned today that I think they canceled the rest of their spring sports season, so no baseball or softball either. But we're seeing things like Ohio State canceling classes and moving to online. I think Indiana is closed for 2 weeks. Somebody sent me a text today saying Xavier's going to be closed for 2 or 3 weeks. But yet they're still participating in an athletic competition. And what I cannot reconcile, Chad, is that, like, if it's dangerous for one group, then why isn't it dangerous for another? And was this a necessary move? I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But if it was, then why are you continuing to play hockey?
And I think one of the things that I heard about the Ivy League is that because the games were actually going to be at Harvard's campus as opposed to on a neutral location, that's one of the reasons that drove them to cancel it. Did somebody pick up the phone and see if any other arenas anywhere in the Boston area were available for 2 days? I bet they could have found a place. I bet they could have found a neutral location that would have been glad to host the tournament, even on a short notice. So
And not to take away from Yale, I understand Penn's frustration because in their minds, and maybe they're right, that the Ivy League did not exhaust all options to put on the tournament in a way that was safe and healthy for everybody. I don't think that it's unreasonable to think that could have been done. But David,
they could have done what the other two announcements that came out later on as the day went past did.
Yeah. Okay, so the Mid-American Conference, the MAC, which is set to start on Thursday, is going to be playing to it's going to be closed to the fans. The pass lists will be allowed in, so guests of the players and coaches, normally family members or girlfriends, and media-credentialed individuals will be allowed in. I believe the Big West is doing the same.
Yes, David, this all came after, especially with the MAC, came after earlier today. The governor of Ohio came out.
Yeah.
And while he did not mandate it, he strongly suggested that all indoor sports do not allow fans into the buildings, which would include not only the Mid-American Conference tournament, would include the Columbus Blue Jackets, would include the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA team.
Yes.
And it also is going to include what we don't yet have an answer on, which is the NCAA First Four in Dayton and the NCAA First and Second Round games in Cleveland.
Correct. Start, you know, set to go off next week. And this is a question. The NCAA, Chad, released a statement today.
Yep,
we'll get to basketball in a minute, but this is pretty pertinent, that said, oh, you have it there, that no public health organization or had advised that sporting events be canceled. I guess you got it coming up on the screen here.
There it is right now. We are consulted with public health officials and our COVID-19 advisory panel, who are leading experts in epidemiology and public health, and we will make decisions in the coming days. That is the current statement from the NCAA.
Yes.
They are going to make decisions in the coming days. So, especially because of the situation with two sites in the state of Ohio, I think we may see something here. We may see the same thing the MAC did, which is no fans, at least at these sites, maybe the entire darn tournament. And I want to get to that in 1 second, though. I just want to finish with a couple bits of news here. We mentioned the Big West joined in. It's also not going to have fans at their tournament in Anaheim. In addition, though, the Big East made an announcement that says that they will be continuing with their tournament as normal in New York City, despite, you know, some bit of an outbreak in the New York area.
Right. So the inconsistency here is what's getting to me. And I realize that it's up to conferences and schools.
Mark Emmert actually came out today and made a statement that says it is completely up to the schools and the conferences, how they run their conference tournaments. So we're not going to step in on that at all.
Yeah, but clearly they're either – who is advising them on these decisions? Because not just in the world of athletics, other than the statement from the NCAA, there wasn't really an indication from the Ivy League, and this kind of bothered me, that they had consulted with, you know, medical experts. Now, maybe they did. I'm hoping they did. But why didn't they say that they did if they did? Like, is this just somebody with no medical background whatsoever arbitrarily making decisions the way this, you know, the same way we have these idiots walking around thinking that if they wear masks, they're not going to get sick? I mean, you would like to think that they would consult someone that knows what they are. And it isn't an outrageous conclusion to think that we should shut down big public events or at least postpone them. You know, that makes sense. But what doesn't make sense to me is to do take an action like that without consulting with medical professionals.
Well, I don't know that they did. That? I don't know that they did not consult with medical professionals.
And I do not know that.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to let you put your foot in your mouth.
I don't know that they didn't either. But I just didn't see anything that stated that they did. And you know, for the NCAA to come out with this statement saying that no public, what was it like? Yeah, no, like, public health officials.
Well, this is the current statement, which is an update from the last one. They previously had a statement saying that no public health officials have recommended canceling these events, which is still true. Yeah. No public health organizations have recommended closing any events anywhere to the public, but they are doing it now in the MAC. They're doing it in the Big West. The Ivy League has canceled its tournament, and here's the next question is, I mean, what happens over the next few days? Is there a serious chance that the NCAA will say one of two things? Either one, we are not going to allow fans into the NCAA tournament at all, or two, we're going to cancel and or postpone the entire NCAA tournament.
I think
cancellation, personally, David, I think is not going to happen.
No, it won't.
Because there's way too much money involved in it. Postponing is very unrealistic as well, though, because of the logistics of all the sites. You have 14 different sites that the NCAA tournament is played at, including the first four and the final four. So it's
right, and it is a little different than canceling a concert or something like that. That's a one-day event. You need the venue really for 4 days. You know, I know they're only playing for two,
14 venues for 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Is essentially what you need, but you can't really have anything between games, and you really need it the day before the games for media, for practice, and mm-hmm. for things. You need the venues for 4 days. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the only solution, if they're going to do anything, is going to be to play them in empty buildings. And I think if they're going to play empty buildings, you may see them. I guess there's an option here. Maybe they play the Ohio games in empty buildings, but other cities, no. I don't know.
They could probably do that. I don't know. They're looking at it. I don't think it would be canceled. Part of me can't really reconcile the idea that if you're canceling classes and saying students should go home but still participating in athletics, that just seems sort of like a huge double standard. Why is one okay and the other isn't? I mean, again, just asking the question. But the other thing is, if there's a way to postpone it, I think that, you know, you want the NCAA to be the full NCAA tournament experience, which is, you know, fun and exciting and the atmosphere. And if they can't deliver that in March but can in April, then let's play in April.
I've got no problem with them playing in empty buildings, quite honestly. I personally don't think, you know, it's going to be the end of the world. And I think that might be the best compromise, is playing the empty buildings. Because, you know, the money is not the ticket sales. That's not where the NCAA is. It's the TV, and the TV will still be there.
Yeah.
In fact, there'll be even more of it because even the fans that would have been in the buildings will have to watch on TV.
But well, they're all out in the concourse watching.
Let's assume that the NCAA tournament is going to happen as scheduled and talk about the actual games that were played today leading up to it. And let's start with probably the most significant championship game tonight, although it doesn't affect who's in or out of the field most likely, but it was the West Coast Conference Tournament Championship game. Gonzaga and St. Mary's. David, the Gales hung in there for about a half. And
that's they did. Kind of a repeat, I think, of the last time these two met. It was close for about a half, but Gonzaga really hit the gas and pulled away. St. Mary's couldn't keep up. Both these teams will be in the field. Gonzaga probably on the one line. St. Mary's probably hovering around.
Gonzaga definitely on the one line.
Right. And St. Mary's probably hovering around that 8-9 range, but both teams are in.
But congrats to the Zags. They are, if anybody thought they might not make it, now they're in.
I mean, you know, and it doesn't steal an NIT spot, potentially.
No. We also had the championship game of the Colonial. Well, I was at the Metro Atlantic. Our colleague, John Titel, he was at the Colonial Championship. Yeah. And this was not quite as good of a game as we thought it would be, I guess.
Yeah, Northeastern led early, I think, and then Hofstra came back and then got the lead and then kept the lead. Really impressive showing by Hofstra, not just today, but really through the whole tournament, playing well in all three games. You know, in there were stretches during the year where they struggled, but they certainly finished strong and they certainly finished this tournament strong. And I think they're heading somewhere to the 14 line, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of a fight they can put up.
Yeah, the Pride back in the NCAA tournament. We also had a championship game in the Horizon League tonight. Northern Kentucky, with Wright State gone, was clearly the favorite over UIC, and they played like they were clearly the favorite over UIC. It was
I think they were behind for maybe a minute, but not for very long. If anything, the score isn't indicative as to how much NKU opened this one up. Real impressive showing by the Norse. Dancing again, I think, is this 3 and 5 years?
Three and 4 years for the Norse.
Three and four years, wow. So, I mean, for a team that, you know, what a run for a team that was so recently a transitional program here.
Right. I think they made it in, what was it, their second year that they were eligible, or their first year that they were eligible?
I think it was their first year.
Their first year eligible, so they've been eligible now for 4 years, and three out of those four, they've made it. So, congrats to the Norse. Don't think they're going to be I think they're probably looking at a 15 seed here.
Yeah, probably so. I think Titel had them even as a 16.
Yeah, they could be a 16 depending on how things play out. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite conferences, unfortunately, did not give us the championship, as good of a championship game as we were hoping for. Robert Morris took care of SFPA, maybe not even as close as that 10-point final margin of victory for our good friends of Bobby Moe, who are back in the Big Dance as well.
Yeah, so most likely heading to Dayton. But Robert Morris, you know, the first-place team coming in, played really well all throughout this tournament. But what's crazy is that they really had to sweat out that first game.
Yeah, that was their toughest game was SFBK. After that, they cruised over Long Island, and it was, you know, they had to break a couple of sweats, but not a ton of them against St. Francis tonight.
Yeah.
So congrats to Robert Morris. They're in the NCAA tournament. We had yet another bid given out. 5 bids. This is the busiest big bid day until Saturday.
This one was
it was over literally at the opening tip. Literally at the opening tip it was over.
Wow. What? I mean, they just boat raced them. North Dakota State coming out strong in this one, like after really sweating out the quarters and semis. Blowing past in-state rival North Dakota. What was it? At one point, I think it was like 18-2.
Yeah.
And that was actually as close as and that was actually close compared to what it looked like at the end.
But by the time – this is when the 9 o'clock starts. By the time all the 7 o'clock games had ended and I went to put this game on, I was like, okay, next channel. That's how bad this was. It was
– yeah.
But congrats to the Bison back in the NCAA tournament as well. I think we're looking probably again along the 15 seed line here for this team.
Mm-hmm.
That was the championships. There are 5 championships that were given out today, but there was other action, including a pretty good pair of semifinals tonight in the America East, where Vermont got a lot tougher test from UMBC than we thought they would. And Stony Brook got so big of a test from Hartford that they lost the game.
Yeah, real nice win for Hartford here. Howie the Hawk leave Del Vecchio out partying tonight. So, you know, sets up what should be an exciting – no, it won't. I think Vermont rolls.
I don't
know. Fun to see Hartford get this far.
Vermont struggled for most of the game with Maine. They struggled for most of that game with UMBC. They lost late in the regular season to UMBC. I don't think the Vermont is playing great basketball. I mean, I think they need it. I mean, that would be a big boost for them in getting into the NCAA tournament, where I think they are a threat to win a game if they can just roll Hartford in this final. But Hartford might get it be in this game. Quick note here, there was a nice little delay in the start of the second half. I was getting really annoyed because I saw my screen came up and said technical difficulties, and it was a close game. Well, it wasn't technical difficulties. It was a power outage of the whole darn building. So,
So sometimes, you know, things go awry sometimes.
Didn't miss any of the game, though, so at least that happened. Let's jump over to some other conferences that were getting underway today. And let's start with the ACC, the first of the major conferences, the major power conferences get underway. We had the first round games. Where Pitt and Wake Forest was a fairly close game.
Yeah, it really was.
Last few minutes there.
Yeah. Pitt opened it up, but it was in like the last minute or two of the game. It was pretty nip and tuck all the way through. They get NC State tomorrow in a game. NC State just cannot lose. They really need to win that one. And then, you know, North Carolina, it was kind of weird that seeing this on the screen, Chad, like, you know, they showed the seeds as if they were the rankings 14th and 11th. And, you know, a year ago, that was pretty plausible that that's where these teams would have been ranked, not seeded.
Yeah, North Carolina actually took care of them fairly easily. I know that there is a small group of people out there that are talking up the idea of, well, gee, maybe North Carolina will win the ACC tournament. They will not win the ACC tournament.
They might win tomorrow, though.
They might win tomorrow. But Syracuse – you know, let's take a look at the other games here tomorrow. We get Syracuse, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Boston College, Clemson, Miami, as well as the NC State Pitt game you already mentioned.
Yeah, kind of blah. Yeah, I mean, it is
blah,
sort of a – well, the second round, I guess, not really the opening round. But, you know, NC State probably the only team that's really tournament caliber, and, you know, they won't be if they don't win. They need that one.
I mean, there is arguments here that a team like a Notre Dame or a Syracuse, if they made a run all the way to the finals, could still get some consideration, but I don't think either one is good enough to do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think that would be enough. I think they would have to, you know, win on Saturday to make it for either one of those teams. But Boston College, Clemson, Miami, it's an 8-9 game, which is always a fun game, but that's about all that I'd say about those games. And the conference tournament may not even really get really good until Friday, unfortunately, which is so strange for the ACC.
Right, I know.
It was also opening round day in the Metro Atlantic, where I was there in Atlantic's right in my backyard here in Atlantic City, where the first game, Fairfield Manhattan, was 19-19. It was tied at the half. It was a pathetically bad play for us there. Give credit to the Manhattan Pep band. They were the most exciting pet part of the entire night, I think. They were loud and having a ton of fun. But you know, Manhattan blew it out in the second half and went away 61-43.
Yeah,
Iona took care of Canisius. I don't even know if it was as close as that 10-point final margin. And Dave, we had a pretty good one in the nightcap here in Niagara.
Yeah, Niagara sweating bullets against Marist, a really unimpressive Marist team, but, you know, getting it done. Marist had a shot at the end to win the game, had a three just not go in. But, you know, that one was exciting all the way through.
Yeah, it was. And that sets up the quarterfinals. Now, only two quarterfinals tomorrow. We have the one seed Siena taking on Manhattan and the two seed St. Peter's taking on Iona. David, I think that Manhattan is going to be in a ton of trouble against Siena, but the St. Peter's Iona game really does intrigue me here.
Yeah, I know, because Iona owns this tournament, regardless of where they're
four straight tournament championships for Iona in this event.
Right, and you know, it's hard to not be intrigued by that one.
I really think it's going to be a good one. You know, Iona almost has to be the favorite in this event every year until somebody finally beats them. And
right, yeah.
Because like, they've done it out of low seeds before in this.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they definitely have. So.
Yep. It was also opening round day, or actually quarterfinal round day, in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the SWAC.
Yeah.
These games were on campus sites. Prairie View rolled Alabama A&M, Southern Alabama State was close for most of the game, actually, but Southern pulled away late. Texas Southern took care of Grambling fairly easily, and Jackson State
pulled off. So State solid there. Chalk in this conference. You know, the coverage was a little bit lacking, but
two of the games had video streaming. Two had none at all.
Yeah. But, all the game's going to be streamed from here on out.
But David, I got to give a shout-out to this Jackson State game. At the very end of the game, Jackson State brought Snacks back in.
Now,
Stacks is the team manager who suited up last week for the first time, came into the game, and I've got the video. I got to play it.
Yeah, it was, we needed – America.
This is Stacks, number 35 there.
Yeah.
A little bit of a large guy. This is what he did, not tonight, but last week when he came in.
2:05 to go. Thomas Lee in the ball game for Jackson State.
Thomas Snacks Lee.
Seconds to go.
Jonas James is trying to get it to him. Jonas James gets it to him again.
Here's Snacks with three.
Snacks busted. Snacks.
Snacks, it's the three.
I love that his nickname is Snacks. But again, you like to see that from managers. I've never really seen that done. Managers are typically recognized at senior night in front of the crowd, as they should be. And a lot of them play on like those managers' teams. But that's the first – I don't recall an incident of a coach putting a manager into a game. On senior night, and my God, what a stroke of genius that was.
It was great. And then, like I said, he got in the final minute. He actually got a shot off tonight, even it didn't even come close. We'll be back talking about this conference in a couple of days here. Not till Friday. They go to Birmingham for the semifinals on Friday and the championship on Saturday. Mm-hmm. One of the league that was in action, it was first round day in the MEAC, which gave us one of the best games of the day was the 8-9 MEAC game between Delaware State and Maryland Eastern Shore, David.
Yeah. This had Centenary written all over it, this opening round, or Centenary candidates, but Delaware State getting the win. They survive, and they survive one more day anyway.
Well,
but
yeah.
South Carolina State Howard, also not a bad game.
Not a bad game. Howard, I mean, a team that was right in there. One of the worst teams in D1 here until the last week. They beat Eastern Shore late in the season at home. Now with this win also, they have three D1 wins. But tomorrow we have, again, just like the Metro Atlantic, we only have two quarterfinals tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's the Delaware State NC Central game and the Howard North Carolina A&T game. I predict a pair of blowouts, David.
Yeah, I do too.
And not upset, right. It's real blowouts.
Right, yeah.
That concludes everything that was played today, but we've got a lot more to get to still tonight because we got to preview all of tomorrow's games that we haven't previewed yet.
Yeah.
And the big one is, first of all, we have one more bid that will be handed out. This will be the last bid handed out until Saturday. It is the Patriot League Tournament Championship game, BU at Colgate.
Yeah, this one should be fun. Kind of looking forward to this one. So I think Colgate wins it. They're at home. They had the best season. They've really kind of been blasting their way through the tournament. I think they get it done tomorrow.
I agree with you, but I think it's going to be a really close game, a really good game here.
Yeah.
We also have one conference that we're coming back to that's back in action, and we'd already started it, but it is now up to the 18th out of 87 rounds in the Sunbelt tournament.
So, yeah, we've got Sunbelt quarters tomorrow. Georgia State, Georgia Southern, the rivals.
Big rivalry.
Texas State,
game, yeah.
Stalika school there going at it. So, the winners advance to the semis on Saturday, which is a full 8 days after the start of the tournament.
Yeah, well, the semis in the championship game will be played in New Orleans at the NBA arena there. But before that, Georgia State, Georgia Southern tomorrow night. Like I said, big rivalry game. I could see an upset here. I could see Georgia Southern knocking off their rivals in Atlanta there. App State, Texas State. I think Texas State was my pick to win this event, and I think that they're going to roll App State.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Okay. Now the rest of the conferences are all conferences that are just starting, so we've got to start with the Atlantic 10 Conference. We have opening round day. Let's start with the two games tomorrow, though. David, George Mason versus St. Joe's, GW versus Fordham. Do you care about anything here?
George Mason is interesting in the sense that they had a bloated record at one point, and then conference play started. Not it, Why are these games in the middle of the afternoon if they're the only – anyway, it's not like anybody would be there anyway. But, in a nutshell, I don't think anybody goes past tomorrow. I think Bonnie's rolls whoever wins Joe's and George, and GW in Fordham gets rolled by Duquesne.
Well, GW gets rolled by Duquesne because Fordham is going to lose. I think George Mason and GW, the two higher seeds, easily win tomorrow.
I agree with that.
Let's look
at this. How about VCU, the 9 seed? Good job, VCU.
Yeah, what a class by them. But David, how about the question here? Does Dayton win this event, or does a bid potentially get stolen by a St. Louis or a Rhode Island? Richmond, definitely a bubble team here. Can they make it at least to the finals and get that bid, if not win the event? Now, who do you go with to win this event?
I think it's Dayton. They ran the table. They weren't even in that many close games. It's possible somebody steps up and beats them, but if I had to pick a team, it would be them. Do we get an Arch Baron semifinal?
That's what I'm looking forward to. If we get that Dayton-Lewis Arch Baron Cup semifinal, that's where the upset could happen. The SLU, remember, SLU almost had them beat. Actually, and blew that game. So, Big 12 starts tomorrow as well. It is the opening round games between Oklahoma State and Iowa State, TCU, Kansas State, the four teams that are not on anybody's board for the NCAA tournament,
right? And that are likely being led to the slaughter. Although TCU did beat Baylor, kind of struggling a little bit. So, if they get by K-State, can they do it again?
Yeah. I don't know if they get by K-State. I'm actually going to take Oklahoma State and Kansas State tomorrow to win these two games.
Yeah.
But again, David, who wins this? I mean, can anybody beat Kansas at this point is maybe more of the question.
They can if Kansas decides to kind of sleepwalk through the tournament, knowing that not only is the one line pretty much locked up, the overall number one is pretty much locked up. I think that's true even if they fall in the quarterfinal game. I'm going to go with Kansas just because they just own this event. But, and I would say Iowa State, but they not just this year. They have a tendency to win this tournament a lot.
The big game in this tournament, we're going to talk about this tomorrow night at a little bit more. It's going to be this Texas Tech 4-5 quarterfinal
game. Huge game on Thursday.
Huge bubble implications. We will talk about that tomorrow night. That game's not coming until Thursday. Big East kicks off with the 8-9 game between Georgetown and St. John's and a very intriguing 7-10 game between Xavier and DePaul. A Xavier team desperate for another win or to at least avoid another loss here.
Right. Xavier inside the bubble, but very, very close to it. And you got to figure that losing to a non-tournament, likely non-NIT DePaul team might knock them into a bit of a tailspin. If they win tomorrow, they're probably safe. If they beat Villanova, they're definitely safe. But sort of a sense of urgency here for Xavier right out of the gate in the opening round. That's this year's Big East for you.
But assuming you put Xavier through there, you're going to have in these quarterfinals, seven out of the eight teams are going to be clearly NCAA tournament teams at that point. This is going to be a great event. Providence in there, Seton Hall, Villanova, Creighton, Marquette. David, are we picking Providence to win this thing the way they've been playing?
I am. I am. I think they can win this whole tournament.
I want to go that way, but I think I'm actually going to take Seton Hall to win this event over Providence in the finals.
Okay. I mean, that's a good pick, too. God, what a tournament this is going to be.
It is opening round day in the Big Sky. Look at this. Their first game is 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, which is 9:30 a.m. Mountain time out there in Boise. They have a very early day tomorrow for Weber and Sacramento State. Let's start with this first 8-9 game: Weber, Sacramento State, Southern Utah, Idaho in the 7-10, Northern Arizona, Idaho State in the 6-11. I'm taking the higher seeds in all three of these games.
Yeah, for sure.
They're way better than the bottom three.
Yeah, Sacramento State was exciting for a while, but, I mean, not towards the end. I think Weber gets them, too.
And we've got three teams that I'm really looking at for to win this event: Eastern Washington, Northern Colorado, and Montana.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Eastern Washington because I'm looking at Northern Colorado and Montana. Maybe I have to play each other, and that might take a lot out of those. Whoever comes out of that game is the winner on Friday. And give Eastern Washington the advantage on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a toss-up between all three of them.
Okay. let's move over to the Big Ten. It is opening round day in the Big Ten as well. We've got the Minnesota Northwestern game, followed by Indiana. Look at that. A team that most people think are in the field is playing in an opening round game. That's how deep the Big Ten is. They're taking on Nebraska, who the news today was they've taken two players off of their football team, a quarterback and an offensive lineman, and put them on the basketball team for this game tomorrow.
I guess to give them some depth in case they get all the way to Sunday.
Well, they only had seven scholarship players, and that was one of the issues. Yeah.
Yeah. So Indiana ought not lose that game. They are in a hell of a lot of trouble if they can't beat Nebraska tomorrow night.
I think they are still in even with the loss, but yeah, you're right. There's no question about it if they win this game and then lose to Penn State.
Yeah.
You're taking Indiana, you're taking Minnesota, or you're picking.
Yeah.
Northwestern's starting a little life lately.
Yeah. I still think Mini gets them. I don't think they go any further, but like, you know, Iowa, Minnesota, fun rivalry in the opening round. God, what, like, gee, I mean, look at the second round that we're looking at.
Iowa, Minnesota, Rutgers, Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue, Penn State, Indiana. That could be not the quarterfinals, the second round. You still got Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan State, and Maryland all waiting.
Yeah. What a tournament this is going to be. Well, it was just a great season. So, in Indianapolis, which is still open to the public as far as we know, just hosted the Horizon League tournament. Which one is bigger, that one or this one? A little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger. In terms of who wins this entire event, you got to look. One of the things you look at is there's a little bit of a disparity here. The way that the seeding filled out, Michigan State, Maryland, and Ohio State are probably three of the top four teams of this conference, along with Wisconsin. Or they may even be the top three in terms of national rankings, those three. And they are all in the same half of the bracket there.
A pretty unbalanced schedule. You know, 14 teams, a 20-game format just throws it all out of whack. But Michigan State is white hot right now. And the way they're playing, they might win this. I think they win the tournament.
I'm with you on the Michigan State pick there. My Rutgers Scarlet Knights, obviously, there's a few people that still don't think they're in the field. Beating Michigan tomorrow would lock that up.
Absolutely.
They've never beaten Michigan before, ever. So,
well, they've never made the NCAA tournament. They have.
Yes, they have. but, you know, they have beaten Wisconsin. They have beaten Illinois this year. So, you know, hey, if they get by Michigan – you never know. Mm-hmm. Could they be playing Saturday? Could they be playing Sunday?
Yeah.
Conference USA opening round day. David, you finally get games to watch there in the public.
Open. I can't see. They're not letting me out. Coronavirus precautions. But, we got the curtain tomorrow.
The curtain is in play tomorrow.
This is great. So we got games at 7, 7:30, 9:30, and 10. Oh, it is amazing. It is the greatest thing in not just basketball but all of sports in the entire world, the Conference USA curtain.
That's the format. Yep, yeah. Right there. You've got Court A, those are the 7 and the 9:30 games. Court B will be the 7:30 and the 10 o'clock games. So, David, yeah, you're going to be seeing the Court B games for your puppet bunker.
There's no windows in here, Chad. I can't see.
We've got to work on windows for next year for you. And there's the see right there? That's the curtain. It's a big old curtain. You can walk back and forth, watch both games at the same time.
Yeah, we've got bars, we've got everything. Like, what an event. This is like, I don't know why we don't play the Final Four this way with a curtain. I mean.
But the four games tomorrow, Old Dominion, Florida Atlantic, Florida International Race, UAB, UTSA, Marshall, UTEP. We may get some good games here, David, but I don't think that any of these four games are going to matter. Do you?
Not really. Maybe Marshall, but I don't really see anybody moving very far from here.
However, let's take a look at the other. I think there's three teams that can win this event. The top three seeds: North Texas, Western Kentucky.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a big gap between those three and everybody else.
Yeah, Charlotte and Florida International are the next two best teams, Marshall beyond that. But I'm going to go with Western Kentucky here.
Okay, I'm going to stick with North Texas, the Mean Green.
Okay. All right. All right. David's got North Texas. I've got Western Kentucky to win this thing.
Yeah. We've got Facebook and Stadium. Oh, it's just a great
event. When we get to Thursdays, you got to bring it.
It's on six different networks.
Yeah. We got ESPN Plus for Wednesday. We got Stadium and Stadium's Facebook page on Thursday. We got CBS Sports Network on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't discuss the A10 that way, though. Let me go back there. We got ESPN Plus on Wednesday, NBC Sports Thursday and Friday, CBS Sports on Saturday, CBS on Sunday.
Yes, on Sunday. Yeah, that's a new network for every round.
It is also opening round day in the Pac-12 tournament tomorrow. We've got the 8-9 game between Oregon State and Utah, the Arizona-Washington, which is a fascinating opening round.
Very much so, yeah.
Stanford-Cal and Colorado-Washington State. But, David, how about these games, especially that Arizona-Washington game?
Well, Washington playing pretty well down the stretch despite being the 12 overall. A lot of that was circumstantial, not being at full strength. They can win that one. I agree. They really can.
I actually think Washington will win this game tomorrow.
Yeah. Stanford better not lose to Cal.
It's a big rivalry game. I also think Stanford is going to lose this game to Cal tomorrow.
If they lose that, I think they're done.
I also think Colorado might lose to Washington State just because Colorado's been playing like trash lately. They're still safely in the NCAA tournament, but the way they've been playing, who knows?
Right. And that's going to be the game that keeps us up late tomorrow night.
We may be recording before that game goes final. We'll discuss that. Yeah. But we've got – they move on. The top four seeds are Oregon, UCLA, Arizona State, USC. David, who wins this whole thing?
UCLA. I'm going with the Bruins. I think they can break stuff and get all the way to the championship.
If you want to talk about breaking stuff, I'm going with the team that has a coach that's going to break stuff, and that's Bobby Hurley. I'm taking Arizona State.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We're not done. We've got opening round day in the SEC with the 12-13 game between Ole Miss, Georgia, and the 11-14 game between Arkansas and Vanderbilt, an Arkansas team that is still showing up on some people's bubble watch lists.
If they shouldn't be, whether they win or lose tomorrow. If they beat South Carolina, then LSU, and then Auburn, then maybe.
Yeah, but there is still a shot here for Arkansas, which is amazing, that like in the opening round here. Do you think Vanderbilt can upset them? And what do you think about the Ole Miss-Georgia game?
I think they can. I don't think they will. And I don't really think much at all of the Ole Miss-Georgia game. I think the winner will lose to Florida is what I think of the Ole Miss-Georgia game.
Well, how about this, David? Kentucky's just going to win this event?
I think so.
I agree with you. I think they are heads and shoulders better than anybody else in here. They're going to have an interesting test in their first game when they play the winner of that Tennessee-Alabama game, though. But Tennessee River beat them this year.
Yeah.
Last conference, we've had a lot of them tonight. It is opening round day in the Southland Tournament. We've got the 5-8 game between Northwestern State and Corpus Christi and the 6-7 game between Lamar and McNeese State.
Yeah, Corpus Christi barely sneaking in, aided by their big win against SFA earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think all four of these teams finished either tied with each other or maybe within one game of each other in the standings. I think we're going to have two really good games tomorrow. I don't think they're going to matter, but I think we're going to
As far as like getting to play one more day, which is really what these early round games are about, it should be an entertaining day.
At the end of the day, Stephen F. Austin, I expect them to win two games by blowout. Although, having to play their arch rival Sam Houston State in the semifinal potentially could be a little trouble.
Yeah, it could be.
That concludes all the games that are coming up tomorrow, which means it is time to move on to Great Moments in Hoops HD.
Oh, yes. I love this segment. I mean, just all the memories that come flooding back here, Chad.
This is not the great moment. That was Snacks. We saw him already. Okay, let me get this screen back up here. We've got to find this. But I'm the one that chose it, and I decided to go back, David, back in time again as well, because we've had a lot of pretty big guests here at Hoops HD over the years.
Joined us, Joey Gardner joined us,
David Warlock from the NCAA joined us, we've had selection committee members on, we've had a lot of good guests here, but I just go back way back to one of our very first guests who was on the show.
Okay.
Way, way back when we used to record the show in black and white. And, he something went a little bit weird. He just started yelling for some reason, but this is way back when the great Marlon Brando was on our show.
Hey, Stella!
Hey, Stella! Do you remember when Marlon Brando was on yelling Stella? I mean, that was one of our best shows, David, wasn't it?
I don't remember that at all, Chad.
Oh, God. Oh, we're going to get to our survival board here for a second. Oh, yeah. I just lost the screen, though. David, give me a...
Okay, give Chad a second. We're not pausing the recording.
Do some filler here for 3 seconds. Talk about something.
Great show here as Chad gets the survival board back up here. Of course, the survival board, it's important we get that back up because of how crucial it is to the selection process. We will explain and show that to you here in a second. It is a tool that we use to guide the selection committee to make sure they know what they're doing.
Yes.
You see there's... It tells them who they should take into the field, who the automatic bids are, who they should be considering, and then who needs who needs to win the conference tournaments in order to get in.
And heading into today's action, there were 219 teams alive with a chance to make the NCAA tournament. As a result of today's games, we are down to 199.
Ooh, yeah, and... it should be 202, but it's 199.
Because... Yeah, let's go. Let's go just show why it's 202 right there in the Ivy League. It should have been four teams left. Instead, it's one.
Kind of disappointing that they didn't at least get to play until somebody beat them, but whatever.
When you take a look at this here, David, when the committee's looking at this, if they ask themselves a question like, should San Diego State be in? They'll see they're in bold, not in all caps, they're not automatically in, but they should definitely be in because they're in bold.
Right. I mean, that's what they do. They log on, they come to this board, and that's how they make their decisions.
If they ask, should Hofstra be in? Automatic bid. So the answer is yes.
So the answer is yes. But Bethune-Cookman, you don't need to worry about them unless they win the conference tournament.
Northern Iowa, now, that's the team that we think they should debate.
Yeah, we think they should debate them. Maybe they should take them, maybe they shouldn't. We'll tell them what they should do as we get into our own mock committee here coming up.
Yeah, and we might there might be changes on there. We might lock them in. I doubt that. We might. I think Northern Iowa is going to end up in italics at the end of the day. But some of these other italics teams, based on what they do, could become locks. For example, Arizona State, one or two wins in the Pac-12 tournament, would probably turn them into a lock.
Yeah, for sure.
On that note, let me go ahead and pull this down. Let's go to final thoughts, David. Since Sleeka's not here, let me go to you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it seems like the crowd or the cloud of the coronavirus grows thicker and thicker, and it sort of hangs over everything. Regardless of what happens, I just hope that we're able to have the tournament and that people are safe and healthy and that it's as fun and as exciting as it always is.
I agree. And, that's the thing that would upset me the most is if we don't get this tournament, especially if I have to be quarantined for 2 weeks because of this darn thing. I want something to do, which is watch the NCAA tournament, but that's a little selfish there. But we do want everyone to try to stay healthy out there. And but on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another edition of the Championship Week Video Notebook, and maybe Sleeka will be here to tell us what day it is when we get there.
Okay, yeah.
Have a good night, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.